Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 12th of March, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Security Friday.
And also with you, I think is how that works. We are here to talk to you about Security Friday news and updates and other information. And the good news is we have sort of a light news week for you this week. The bad news is one of them is kind of a big deal. but we'll get to that later. You'll still be able to sleep tonight, though. It's fine. I want to start with Andrew. You found an interesting article about a way to generate a bunch of serial numbers that look like they're actual Macs.
So this is a cool tool written up from Vice. This is about hackintoshing, and hackintoshing it's a way to download macOS on a non-Mac, and you have to, you know, it's security related because you do kind of have to hack it, as the name suggests, and trick macOS into thinking it is on a real Mac and not whatever custom PC you built. This tool is an open source tool called Docker OS 10. Mm-hmm. And it combines hackintoshing with virtualization. And they say there is also a standalone tool from this anonymous security researcher and an open source developer who goes by Sick Codes. That is his tag name. and this tool lets you, let's see, here's what they say. So the standalone serial code generator, that's what it is, it can replicate codes for non-existent Macs by the thousands. So you just type in a command and it'll set up the CSV file full of all these different serial codes. And that is taking hackintoshing to the next level, because
yeah.
Combine that with a virtualization, you could have, as Vice's headline puts, a virtual army of hackintoshes. And that could be used for good or ill. I mean, Apple had this kind of a legal fight with Corellium, and we've talked about in the past, where they virtualize iOS for security research purposes. So you could probably do the same thing with this setup, or maybe, I don't know, you want to make a virtual macOS like bot army or something.
Yeah. And that can do your bidding, that looks legit as far as, like, it looks like it's an actual Mac to anything that's checking. So,
yeah. And it does sound like this does make it look like it is an actual Mac. He says, with this valid serial code allows you to use Apple-based tools such as iMessage, iCloud, and the App Store inside of macOS. So as far as the system goes, it looks legit. And he says, where did that go? He says, I actually went through and I've got like 15 iMac Pros in my Apple account now, and it says they're all valid for iMessage.
Yeah. So, like, on the one hand, if you want to install macOS, maybe you spend all your time in the command line and you like the Mac flavor of Linux and you just want to put that on an Intel machine that you didn't buy from Apple, that's one thing. But to do something like this is a very different, like, there are a lot of ways that I could see this, like, being, you know, not used for completely benevolent purposes, I'll say. So
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I can see that being not great. So we have another one. This week in data breaches, we had some interesting news from an app called Call Recorder, if I'm not mistaken.
We did, yes. So TechCrunch wrote this up. They found the security researcher, Anand Prakash. He is a founder of something called PingSafe AI. And he found this app called Call Recorder. As the name suggests, once you download it and set it up, it lets you record your calls with other people. However, he found a bug in it So now this part is, I thought, was interesting. He says, so first he used this tool called Burp Suite, or like Burp Suite, it says.
Okay.
He says, Prakash could view and modify the network traffic going in and out of the app with this tool. And that meant he could replace his phone number registered with the app with the phone number of another app user and access their recordings on his phone. Now, he's a security researcher. I don't think he's actually trying to, you know, guess someone's random number.
Yeah.
But TechCrunch says they were able to verify this using a spare phone with its own dedicated account. And it says, the app stores user call recordings on a cloud storage bucket hosted on Amazon Web Services. It says the server was open and it listed all the files that were inside, but they couldn't be accessed or downloaded. But the bucket was closed by the time this article went out. Okay. But it says at the time of that writing, which was earlier this week, it says it had more than 130,000 audio recordings, which amounted to about 300 gigabytes.
Okay. Not great.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, that's fun. And that one, while a little bit concerning, is not the one that I thought was the bad news this week. Let's move on to that one. We've had some interesting developments, I guess, for lack of a better word, with a company called Verkada.
So, to me, I think you could look at this both ways, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could think of this good or bad, and that is because, so, if you've heard the name Verkada this week, they are a Silicon Valley startup who makes security cameras, and these are cameras that can be used in hospitals, apartments, prisons, and schools, Bloomberg reported.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of hackers say they have breached a big trove of the security camera data. And they were able to gain access to live feeds of 150,000 surveillance companies inside all of these locations I mentioned. Let's see. You know, they were able to view video from inside women's health clinics, psychiatric hospitals, and ironically, the offices of Verkada itself. Some of these cameras use facial recognition technology, and they were able to access a full video archive of all of these customers. And the reason I say it's good and bad is because it sounded like they hacked these to kind of make a point, just to show how pervasive some of the surveillance technology is becoming.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, these cameras are used in so many different locations and situations. Verkada said, though, of course, they have disabled all internal administrator accounts to prevent any unauthorized access.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, their investigation into their own internal networks still sounds like it's ongoing.
Okay.
And they're working to notify all their customers and set up a support line to address questions.
Okay. So part of what, like, part of, I guess, the good news in this is that for most people, this isn't going to affect you. These tend to be, Verkada tends to make, like, institutional cameras, for lack of a better word. Like, this is something that goes into an office building or you know, a place where a lot of people are congregated professionally. And this, they're not, it's not necessarily, like, for my house. That's a very different thing. But that's actually the practical tip portion of the program today is we want to talk a little bit about HomeKit Secure Video, because the point of HomeKit Secure Video, Andrew, please jump in if I get this wrong, because I think I've got it. HomeKit Secure Video is just letting you have video over HomeKit. And so the resident device that you use at your house for as your HomeKit hub, whether that's an iPad or your Apple TV or your HomePod, whatever you're using, that's the device that sort of handles the video situation. So it never leaves your home network and it makes everything local. And it's also doing all of that over HomeKit, which is supposed to make things more secure as well, because all of the HomeKit traffic is encrypted and secured in a number of ways. I haven't dug super far into what they're using to do that, but it's way more secure than put this on your network. The login is admin. The password is admin. Go to town.
Yeah. I don't remember when Apple released HomeKit Secure Video. It's been 3 years, maybe. Their support page does say you'll need an iOS device running iOS 13.2 or later.
Okay.
And like Kelly said, these cameras that are designed to work with HomeKit Secure Video, they are designed that it sends the video stream straight into your iCloud storage. It's end-to-end encrypted, and since it does use iCloud, you do need a certain level of iCloud storage. Mm-hmm. Apple says for just one camera, you need a 200 gigabyte plan. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest plan that Apple offers, the 2 terabyte one, that can support up to 5 cameras.
Okay. So the 200 gigabyte plan is $2 a month, by the way. It's like the entry level, I pay for iCloud storage tier. It's $2 a month. So if you're on a bundle, you automatically get iCloud storage as a part of that. So if you're on any of the Apple One bundles, you're set as far as meeting the requirements for having it. If you're somebody like me and you just sync all your pictures in PhotoStream and you're paying for $2, you're paying that $2 a month for 200 gigabytes, it will work for you as well. So.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting, I can't see this anywhere on the support page I have in front of me, but as far as I remember, even though you need a certain level of iCloud storage, I don't think the storage taken up by this video actually counts against your overall storage, if I have that right?
It does not. Yeah, that's I remember seeing that. I think it keeps like 10 days and it doesn't count against your limit. And like you said earlier, it's end-to-end encrypted. So, and I know there are some things, like it will try to tell you, like part of the smart video kind of piece of it is looking for like, is it people? Was it your dog that ran in front of the camera? And that's the other piece that your resident device is doing. So whatever it is that you've got on your network, you know, it's an iPad or an Apple TV or HomePod, that's sort of looking at it to see like, oh, it was the dog. I don't have to tell you it was a motion event. You know, it was the dog jumping on the couch, you know, or whatever. So
I totally forgot about that part of it. So there are cameras that do have these kind of facial recognition or object recognition, recognition, like the difference between a pet and a person. Now, HomeKit Secure Video, I think it uses, if you have facial recognition set up in the Photos app, it uses that data.
Okay.
So again, this is, you know, on-device processing like Apple's other products do, like the iPhone, and it's not sent to Apple servers, which is the other kind of benefit for having one of these cameras.
Yeah. And there are indoor cameras and outdoor cameras. Logitech makes one that's, let's see if I can remember, I want to say it's like the Circle camera is one of the ones that supports it. And I know they were like pretty early on, and I think those are right around $150. The NetAtmo is a nice indoor camera. And that one's like $200. It was a free update, so if you have one of those, you can use it. I don't remember if either of them offer like separate subscription stuff where you can add additional features or not, as far as those go.
Oh yeah.
There's also the, I'm not going to remember, Eufy has one that I know is going to support it. And there are also some doorbells. So I know there's at least a couple. I'll try and find the links to put them in the show notes. But I know because it's secure video, you can do the secure video through a smart doorbell that gives you video. And there are a couple of those, so I'll make sure I get those linked as well in the show notes so that we've got that in there for what those are.
There's a couple ones I have in front of me. There's this one from Ecobee, which is $100 that has voice control.
Okay.
And the one from Eufy, the Eufy Cam, this one is more expensive. It's $300, but it has some really cool features. So this one looks like it's an outdoor cam, and it's weatherproof. It has night vision, 1080p full HD video recording. Let's see, a year security from one charge, so it sounds like it has pretty great battery life.
Yeah, especially for a video camera. Sometimes it's really not great. $300. So there you go. I think the Logitech one was like $100, $100, $150, and it And I think it's the Circle Cam, and Logitech's usually pretty good about supporting stuff like that. So they may have other options available that I'm just not thinking of. That was just the one that I sort of remember from it. I haven't looked into these yet. I think I might be at the point where I might actually be able to start trusting HomeKit to do some stuff. So we'll have to see. Like, it just took so long for everything to get there. And then when it came out, it was really expensive. And so I haven't done anything. I haven't done a whole lot to sort of get HomeKit stuff up and running reliably on my personal network, just because, like, at first it was, you know, why should I pay that for something when I could pay 30%, you know, if I'm not going to be able to get it to do anything in the home app anyway. So I bought a lot of less expensive stuff that works really well and makes me very happy. So it might be time to see if I can up the security on some of that with HomeKit, particularly secure video. We've talked about cameras a couple of times, so maybe it's time to revisit that now that I've got some other options out there that might be a little more affordable. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we'll see. HomeKit Secure Video. And like you said, you know, it's a relatively recent thing, so I've been sort of grumpy with HomeKit for a while anyway, and so I'm hoping that maybe it'll improve. Yeah, I got mad that I couldn't just, that one of us had to be the person that was like the owner of the house, and then you had to invite the other person who lives here to be able to control their own house too. And like, I got to that point, and I admit it was unreasonable, but I got unreasonably upset and I quit. And I just was like, no, I'm not doing this. This is not how this is going to go. And I got really mad and gave up on it. So I have some stuff that I think accidentally shows up in the home app just because it can, but it's not how I'm managing everything. So I don't look forward to your letters, but please feel free to send them to observations@macobserver.com. if there's some management option here that I'm just not seeing, I would really love to find out about it. So that's going to do it for us today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Indeed. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. I also hope you have an excellent weekend. Until then, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.